I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise, His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him. You who are his holy ones, fear the Lord, for those who fear him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Then he proceeded to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For the miracles that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes long ago. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until today. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. At the time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
I simply titled this sermon, Burdens. Jesus had been preaching and performing miracles throughout the towns of Galilee, but most people had refused to accept him as Messiah. He condemns these towns, stating that if what had been done there had been done in pagan places, they'd have accepted him. And we can see evidence of this in the book of Jonah, where Nineveh repented after Jonah's preaching, and he didn't even support his message with miracles. And because of their refusal, God hid his message from them, from all those who would rather lean on their own understanding, their own godly wisdom, their own flawed understanding of the scriptures, than in the evidence before their very eyes. And then he turns to those who do believe him, who accept him as the Messiah. And he says that although he is the Son of God Most High, he is there with them. Although he is way above them, he is within easy reach and has made himself available to them for their benefit. He says, come to me. You don't need to stand far off feeling unworthy. You don't have to feel that I'm too holy for you to approach. There's no gulf between us that prevents you from coming into my presence. You who are weary and are carrying all kinds of burdens, burdens of guilt, of regret, of worry and anxiety, of fear, of shame and sorrow, You can come and lay these burdens at my feet. I will relieve you of your heavy load and give you rest. Accept me as your Lord and Savior, for this is a yoke that is easy to bear. This is a burden that is not a burden. And you can learn from me what it means to walk in the ways of God the Father. I won't deal harshly with you because I am gentle. I know what you're going through, the things you've experienced, the pains you've suffered. I'm humble in heart and understanding of your difficulties. And in me, you'll find rest for your souls. Rest that you cannot find anywhere else or by any other means. Come, take my yoke, bear my yoke, and I promise you'll find a burden you'll not even be aware you're carrying. Do you have burdens that you find hard to carry? Each of us carries a backpack. Is yours heavy or is it light? Are you lugging around things that you haven't been able to deal with? What have you got stored in your backpack? What's weighing you down? Is it a burden of guilt or shame? Is there something in your past, some word, some action that caused someone pain for which you now feel a sense of guilt that you may be deeply ashamed of and that just won't leave you alone? Lay it at the foot of Jesus by confessing it to God, seeking his forgiveness. The writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, brother, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, that is the very throne room of God, by the blood of Jesus, who opened for us a new and living way by his sacrifice, through that curtain which separated us from the one who delights in calling himself our Father, he is our great high priest, this Lord Jesus, the one who said, come to me and I will give you rest, who has now been placed over the whole house of God. Through him, we are now invited to draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Because through him, we have our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. If we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and seek his forgiveness, we no longer need to carry a load of guilt around like a heavy backpack, for our hearts are cleansed. Our guilt has been taken away, and we have exchanged our load for his load. And his load is easy. His burden is light. Remember that if God has forgiven us, we have no right to not forgive ourselves. Or maybe it's a burden of regret that you carry. In Luke, we read the parable of the prodigal son. Here was a young man who had arrogantly demanded his inheritance from his father. He wanted to do things his own way. He wanted to just live life on his terms. And he didn't care about anyone but himself. His father gave him his wish, and he went out and did as he planned. But as usually happens, life turns out a lot different to what we may expect. And he found himself destitute. And then when he found himself sitting among the pigs, and for a Jew there was no worse place, there was no lower depth he could sink, he deeply regretted his actions. And so as he contemplated his position, realizing what he'd done, he had the good sense to swallow his pride and go back to his father, being willing to accept whatever the consequences would be. He allowed his regret to humble him. And when he came to the father in this condition, the condition of remorse and humility, the father was overjoyed and couldn't wait to welcome him back into the fold. Paul deeply regretted persecuting the church. Peter deeply regretted denying his Lord. Both humbled themselves before God, and look what God did with them throughout the rest of their lives. If you feel the burden of regret for something done in the past or something left undone, come and humbly lay it at the feet of Jesus, and he will restore you to himself. Just like he did with Peter, just like he did with Paul, and your burden will be lifted. Please, don't let dumb pride get in your way. In these situations, there's no greater stumbling block than useless pride. Is it a burden of fear, worry, or anxiety? Are you anxious about health problems, growing old, violence, financial stress, death, about the future of your children or grandchildren? Whatever your fears or anxieties may be, they are burdens our Lord Jesus will be only too willing to take from you. Jesus says, don't worry, for you're very important to God. If you have put your trust in him and have accepted him as your God, you are not just his creation, you're his children, his sons and daughters. And as such, nothing can happen to you without his will. Jesus says, God looks after and provides even for the sparrows. And you're much more valued by him than sparrows. And if that's so, how much more will he provide for all your needs, whatever they may be? He says that even if you go through fire or flood, I will carry you. Remember that even though we don't know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. Our dad. The Lord said to Joshua just before he led the people of Israel into the promised land for the first time, fear not. And why should he fear not? Because he followed this up with, I am with you. This same God is with you and with me. This God who is the creator and sustainer of all that is. This God who is more powerful than all the demons put together. This God who holds you in the palm of his hand because you are the apple of his eye. It is this God who says to you, fear not, for I am with you. Paul says in Romans, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things, even the bad things, in fact, especially the bad things. As the psalmist says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the foul snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with your feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. God values you so much that he was prepared to die for you. We've just had Easter, where we remembered that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords allowed himself to be nailed to that cross out of pure love for you. So don't be afraid. Not even a hair can fall from your heads without your Father's will. Trust in him in all circumstances, in all circumstances. Romans 8 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So don't be afraid. Lay your burden of fear, of worry, of anxiety on him, and he will give you peace. So step forward into the future and don't let what all you hear and see cause you fear or worry or anxiety, for you can confidently say, God is King. He's in charge. And nothing can snatch you out of his hand. Nothing can cause him to separate himself from you. Or maybe your burden is sorrow and grief. When we lose a loved one, it does indeed bring about great sorrow and grief. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that you have a lack of faith or trust in God. Even Jesus grieved with Lazarus' loved ones when he died, even though he knew that he was going to raise him again. And when the widow from Nain went to bury her son, he was filled with compassion. God understands when we're in these situations. And he is filled with compassion for us. And it's at times like these that we need to cling to our Savior all the more. And it's times like these that we can be assured that we're carried by him. If you ever watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy, you may remember the point in the last film where Sam and Frodo were almost at their destination. But Frodo is totally exhausted and he can't go on. And Sam says words to the effect of, "I can't carry your burden for you, but I can carry you." And this is what Jesus will do for you. No, he doesn't spare us from the pain and suffering of this fallen world, but he will support us through it. It is in these situations that he takes our burdens upon himself by carrying both us and our burdens. Horatio Spafford lived in America in the 1800s. He was a wealthy lawyer who owned a lot of property in Chicago. He and his wife, Anna, were a very godly, devout couple, and everything was going very well for them. They had much to thank God for. But in 1870, their four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Then 1 year later, in 1871, there was a great fire in Chicago, and much of his property was destroyed, which affected him greatly. 2 years later, he sent his wife and four daughters to England for a holiday. His wife, of course, had also been greatly affected by the events of the last few years. He was to join them later as he was held up due to business affairs. On the way there, the ship collided with another ship and sank. His four daughters, aged 11, 9, 5 and 2, all went down with the ship. Only his wife survived. When she arrived in Wales, she sent him a telegram which included the words, "Saved alone." He immediately made arrangements to travel to be with his wife. On the way there, the ship's captain informed him of the spot where his wife's ship went down and where the remains of his daughters were. With all this tragedy, what was his response? He went to his cabin and wrote the famous hymn, "When Peace Like a River." In all his pain and suffering, he could write, "When peace like a river attendeth my way," as he had experienced when everything was going so well for him. When sorrows like sea billows roll. We can't even begin to imagine the sorrows he was experiencing at this time. "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." But this isn't the end of the story. Following this deep tragedy, Anna gave birth to three more children. But she and Horatio were not spared even more sadness. On February 11th, 1880, their only living son also died at the age of 4. In August 1881, they left America and settled in Jerusalem. There they served the needy, helped the poor, cared for the sick, and took in homeless children. After all that they'd experienced, their one desire was to show those living about them the love of Jesus. In all this tragedy, all their pain and suffering, their faith never wavered. And because of that, they could cast this terrible burden on Jesus, continuing to trust in him. And he carried them for the rest of their lives. They lived the life of Job and responded as he did. Notice that Jesus says that his burden is light. We're to replace our burden with his. And where our burden may be way too heavy for us to carry, the burden of Jesus is light. Sometimes you may take that burden from us, as with guilt or shame or regret. At other times you may replace our burden with trust and assurance, as with fear, worry and anxiety. Or yet at other times you may carry both us and our burdens, as with sorrow and grief. So as you continue your journey through life, come to the cross of Jesus and there unpack your backpack. Take each burden and lay it there at the foot of the cross with full assurance that whatever the burden, Jesus will help you bear it. Replace each burden with Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we take up Christ's burden, thereby relieving our own? The answer is to draw close to him. And we do that by spending time with him. We pray, we read and meditate on his word. It's important that we spend time with God every day. We need to come into his presence seeking him, because he is our Father and we are his children. This is the only way we can grow close to him. We must remember that prayer is not first of all about us and our needs. If it was, we'd only pray when we needed something. No, prayer is so much more. It is first of all about God and our relationship with him. It is in prayer, through worship, through adoration, through gratitude, that we develop that relationship. When you pray, how often do you tell God that you love him? How often are you awestruck by the greatness, the might and power of God? How often are you overwhelmed by the majesty and holiness of God? How often are you reminded of your unworthiness in the presence of his perfection, his purity? How often are you humbled by the love, the grace, the compassion and mercy of God? How often are you blown away by the incredible sacrifice God made on your behalf, and that you, a mere sinful, fallible, mortal human being, may call him Father? We need to tell him how great and awesome he is, not for his sake, but for ours. Not to butter him up or to stroke his ego, but to constantly remind ourselves of who our God is and in whose presence we come. It is through praise and worship that we get a right perspective of God and his greatness, and of ourselves and our unworthiness. It's through gratitude that we understand how small, how weak, how insignificant we are apart from him, and how dependent we are on him. In Matthew 6, Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, and we see that fully half of it isn't about us at all, but about God. And notice, it's the first half. Our Father, you are the Holy One, the Pure One, the Almighty One, Creator of heaven and earth, and have graciously adopted us as your children out of pure love. In heaven, there enthroned in glory in all your majesty, your greatness and perfection. Hallowed be your name. May all praise, glory and honor be yours, for we, your children, your creation, worship and adore you. Your kingdom come. May your perfect rule encompass all your creation, so that everywhere, in every part, you will be lauded as king. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May all the earth seek you so we may strive to serve you and do your will perfectly here on earth as all those who serve you in heaven do. All about God before we even start to think about ourselves. Yes, in our prayers, God must come first. And when we put him first, we will draw closer to him. Then when we bring our burdens before him, we will find that that which weighs us down will no longer have the weight it once had. We'll no longer be carrying it on our own, because our Lord will carry it with us or for us. As David says in Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman who takes refuge in him." And in Psalm 68, "May the Lord be praised. Day after day he bears our burdens. God is our salvation." Yes, God is our salvation. But he is much more than the God who rescued us from sin. He is much more than the God who justifies us in his sight. He is our heavenly Father. And he longs to put his loving arms around us, his children, and help us through all that life confronts us with. All of life's storms, every dark valley, every trial. Remember that the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Amen. What I would like us to do now is just spend a little bit of time just where you are in your seats, before God in prayer. And just imagine in your mind taking your backpack to the cross of Jesus. And there, unpack that backpack from whatever burdens that you may have. And as you unpack each burden, you name it and ask God, our Jesus, to carry it for you. If you have no burdens, then you are most blessed. Then I suggest you take this time and give praise and thanks and glory to God. So I'll give you just a couple of minutes and then I will finish with prayer. Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Our dear, dear Jesus, thank you for the cross, that there you took upon yourself all the burden of sin of mankind. Weighed down with his incredible heavy load. And there, abandoned by God the Father. Yes, Lord, you experienced hell on behalf of each one of us. Oh, Lord, thank you for your promise that you will take our burdens, that you will carry them for us, that you will relieve us from them, that you will help us and carry them with us. Father, you are God Most High. Dear Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. How can we ever thank you? But Father, help us now. Relieve us of our burdens. Take these burdens and replace them with yourself, O Lord, that we may know that what we are carrying is your light burden, dear Jesus. We commit all this into your care and into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.